Amen. Welcome those of you who are watching us today. We're happy that you're here today. It's a good day. We've been gone all week. Shadra, do you have that little thing for me? Okay. My dream has come true. There he is. Mr. Moose. How many years have I been looking for the moose? Not quite that long, probably about 15 years. I wanted to hunt the moose. I didn't kill him. I just shot pictures of him. But we saw 6 meese. Wait, there's a teacher here. We saw 6 moose and in the park, in Rocky Mountain Park, but they were all cows. So I wasn't satisfied with that. So I said, Lord, please run a big bull moose out by the road we're traveling on. And sure enough, when we went off-roading and went through all the mountains and all this stuff and just had, you know, a great time. But once we got out on a county road, Mr. Moose walked right out there.
He did, right on the side of the road.
Toby, my son, y'all met him. He said, Mom, God just answered your prayer. We're out there. And I'm like, of course, son. He believed it anyway. He believes like we believe. He's big.
Yes, he was. He was huge.
But think about that out in the woods, those big old things. That's amazing, isn't it? So you're like, well, we're not as thrilled as you are. I know, but I'm the one up here. So praise the Lord. That was good. I'm kidding. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Kings 2, verse 1. Title of the message today is Attention. Attention. Let me know when you get to Kings. They believe Kings was written. The Jewish people believe that Kings was written by Jeremiah. And this part of the Old Testament was written, prophets were mostly in charge of everything that went on. And so usually a prophet would have things written, the history of things. Amen. And so they do believe it was Jeremiah. We have no reason to doubt that. 2 Kings 2:1. It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now, just for new folks, Elijah was raptured. He did not die. Okay? So he was taken up. Okay, verse 2. And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Reminds me of Ruth. I won't leave you. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said, knowest thou not that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. Okay. So it was news to all the prophetic school there, the school of the prophets. They knew something was going to happen. In fact, there were schools in these towns that they're walking through. Y'all know the story? This is your homework. Before Wednesday night, read the story because you're going to have your socks rolling up and down on Wednesday night. Okay? Now, so Elijah's going to be taken up. Elisha refuses to leave him. He's following him. He's going through Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho. He's walking through these towns. Every time he goes through the town, he says, no, you stay here. And Elisha keeps saying, no, boss, I'm going with you all the way. Now, there are a lot of things wrapped around that, and we're going to get to that on Wednesday night. But one of the things I just want you to see is that he's not giving in and not giving up. He's going to follow the prophet all the way. And so one of the things, I'll just give you a little hint because I can hardly stand it. Elijah is thinking with God on this trip, okay? Mm-hmm. He's following God. He's thinking with the Spirit of God as he's moving through these places. That'll help you get a little bit of the feel. So Elisha with him is, he's not trying to be mean to him. He's just trying to focus. Okay. And he's trying to pull something out of Elisha as well. Now, verse 8, Elijah has, now let me just put this before that. He's at the Jordan, and the Jordan represents death, actually, in this. It says, Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither so that the two walked over on dry ground. This supports that he's going to rapture and not taste death. The waters are parted. Got it? Okay. And it came to pass that when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee, because before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And once again, we hit that while ago. The double portion would be the firstborn's right. Every firstborn Jewish person had a double portion. And all the other kids got a portion. But the firstborn got a double portion. So Elisha is Elijah's firstborn. You remember? Elijah was walking and he saw Elisha and he took his mantle and threw it on Elisha.
Yeah.
He threw that mantle.
That is right.
I like that. He threw it on Elisha. So then Elisha picked up and went with him. Okay. Now, so Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so they walked over on dry ground. It came to pass that they were gone over, that Elijah said, ask what I shall do for thee before I'm taken away from thee. Elijah said, I pray thee a double portion of the spirit. Now listen to this. And he said, you ask a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me, say that, if you see me, when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto you. But if not, it shall not be so. Say, it shall not be so. So Elijah uses his mantle. He parts the water. Then Elisha asks for the double portion of the spirit. Elijah's reply is, if you see me when I go, if you see the rapture, if you see me rapture, you know that you got a double portion. That'll be the sign. So this is what I want to say to you today. You have to put your attention on the right thing. It would have been a really good idea for Elisha to be paying attention. He could have missed the double portion anointing if he had just gone, oh, hold up, boss, I need to pick a flower over here or something. No, he had to be focused. And you could see that he's focused because he kept saying, as the Lord liveth, and my soul lives, I will not leave you. I'm focused. I'm going to see this thing all the way through until we get to the next step.
Amen.
That'll just preach right there, won't it? Now, I want to make this declaration to you right now. I want you to, if you don't get anything else, I want you to hear me right here. Every spiritual person that has success has disciplined themselves to put their attention on the right thing.
Yes.
Got that? I'm going to repeat that again. Every spiritual person that has success has disciplined themselves to put their attention on the right thing. You got it, those of you taking notes? Every successful Christian has disciplined themselves. If they've had any success, they've disciplined themselves to keep their eyes on the right thing. So true. So what gets your attention? What's your attention on? Because what you put your attention on is what is going to move into your life. Whatever you put, if you're going to pout, pouting will move into your life. If you're going to complain, the devil will give you a ton of things to complain about if you let him. He'll give you a ton of things to hate. He'll give you a lot of people to hate if you're willing to go that way. Mm-hmm. You want to live in insecurity? He'll help you out with that. Whatever you put your up, well, they don't love me. Well, they don't want me. Well, I can't believe they did that to me. They. But when really it's you and your attention. Oh, I like that. Let's back up there to verse 5. The sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold your peace. So we see twice that these prophets are coming out and saying, your master's leaving. And he's telling them to be quiet. They're not going to steal his attention. Because he was told, you're going to have to see it if you're going to get it. Come on, church. You're going to have to see if you're going to get it. So we can't let the negative stuff or what people are saying, do you know, blah, 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 blah. You can't put your focus on that and think about it all day long. You know, that's what happened to Job. Parents, can I tell you something? You want your kids to live and live good? Then stop sitting around and thinking about all their stuff. Just put your faith in there that God's going to help them, grow them up, teach them. If they're grown, help them in their lives. But you can't be sitting around making sacrifices. Praise the Lord. You can't worry. You cannot worry. Put your children in the hands of God. And become you have to be the parent. Those of you who have grown children, you are not in the same relationship with them.
No, you're right.
They become your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you're not supposed to be bossing them around or trying to run their life.
That's right.
Don't throw anything at me. I'm just telling you the truth. But you can sure pray for them. You sure can. Amen. Okay. So, we see that this happens twice, once in Bethel, once in Jericho. These guys are trying to get Elisha's attention. They're focusing on what Elijah was going to lose.
Oh, wow, that's good.
Yep.
Wow.
Come on.
This is what you're going to lose. This is what you're going to lose. This is what you're going to lose. You're going to lose him. You're going to lose the most important person in your life. You're going to lose. You're going to lose. You're going to lose. That's what they're doing. But Elisha stayed focused on what would be gained.
Amen.
He put his attention on faith. He put his attention on his faith. If you get your mind on opposition, it moves you off your faith. But he was not going to be moved off his faith. I see something interesting about Elisha. Each time Elijah told him to stay, tarry here, I pray thee. Okay? Each time he said, as the Lord, man, he's like swearing, as the Lord liveth, as my soul liveth, I will not leave you. That's big. What's he doing? He's focused and he's loyal. He's focused and he's loyal. Well, I'm just not going over there anymore. They made me mad. They made me mad over there at that church. I'm not going to go. They just hurt my feelings because they told me the truth. Praise the Lord. Opposition will get you off your faith. He was focused. He was loyal. And I really have too much to say about Elijah and Elisha, so I'm going to save it for Wednesday night. You're going to like it. I'll talk about prophets. Just let me say here that every place they went represented something in God. All these towns they moved through, something had actually taken place there historically. And he's moving through these places and reminding us of how gracious God is And what happened? Go look up and see what happened in Bethel, in Gilgal, in Jericho. You'll get the picture. Amen. So he's moving through. But now I want you to go over Philippians 4:10. Because I want to go this way with this today, and I think you'll get more out of it if we go into the New Testament here and talk about this. Philippians 4:10. Let me know when you get there. We'll put it up on the screen. Philippians 4, there. She's got it right there. I rejoice greatly in the Lord. You're still turning, okay. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that now at last you've renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned about me before, but you had no opportunity to show it. Not that I speak from any personal need, for I have learned to be content, self-sufficient through Christ, satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or uneasy. I'm reading the Amplified. Regardless of my circumstances. This is Paul speaking, and what you need to know is that he's writing this from prison. And what I need you to understand about this prison is this is not a cot in a cell down a hall. This is Paul standing knee deep in sewer and writing these words, or having someone write the words for him. He's standing in the sewer. That's what that prison was like there. It's bad. It's nasty. But it says here he was writing that he was grateful. Wow. He's grateful. And he said he had learned. Come on. He had learned. So how did he learn? How did he learn something? He practiced. He practiced. What did he practice? He practiced on how to not be disturbed. Ooh, we could learn some lessons here. Listen, he's wrongfully in there. He didn't even do anything. Other people put him in that position. Has that ever happened to you? That other people will put you in a position? Sure. That's happened to just about everybody where some other people put you in some sort of a position that is almost like prison to you, or almost like some way you're cornered. It's happened to all of us. Yet Paul said that he had learned not to be disturbed. This is big, but if it's in here, we can do it.
Amen.
He learned not to be disturbed. He learned not to be disquieted. How? Because he put his attention on his faith. It's going to be all about attention. You won't be disturbed if you are looking at the answer. What happens when your loved one goes to heaven? And we've experienced that in the house recently. You have a choice where you're going to put your attention. Butch is either going to put his attention on heaven, where his baby daughter is, or think about the tragedy of death. And I already know, he already wrote it and sent it to us. He's got her, sees her in heaven. She's running free. She's in glory. Doesn't mean he doesn't miss her. Doesn't mean he might not want to cry sometimes. That's all normal, but that's not wrong grief.
Correct.
The grief that's wrong is when you're loyal to the tragedy of death. But he put his attention on the right thing.
That's so good.
Notice that Kaya's sitting in the house today, having been cut out of a car yesterday. She put her attention on the right thing. She could have said, well, you know, I better just stay at home today because, you know, my favorite brow. But she, and is hurting. She's healed though. But she put her attention on the right thing. It's so important for you to put your attention on the right thing. Not on your loss. Not on the things you feel like are lost around you. Well, I'm still waiting for that relationship to come back. Well, how's that going to come back? It's going to come back when you put your attention on that happening. Not on, it's never happened. They don't love me anymore. I can't get a hold of it. Nope. I have them. We're restored. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, Elisha couldn't be called off after what he couldn't be called off going after what was his or who was his. You couldn't call him off of it. He's gonna go. Paul couldn't be called off of his peace and his gratefulness. No, I'm grateful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's going to work out. I'm trusting you. I don't have to just trust in people. I'm trusting in you. You will find a way to make this happen, Jesus. You know, a lot of people have come through Victory Church. Some have moved and they were supposed to, and some just came through, but they started winning because that's what happens. When you get in the Word, you start winning. And so I've seen it over and over. After a while, they're ready to quit. Why are they ready to quit? Because when you're winning, you become a target. It's just the truth. If you're winning in God, you're going to become the target. Oh, don't make the devil mad. Oh, come on. We'll talk about him a little bit. So they become the target. The devil doesn't want them to keep hearing and hearing the word because their lives are changing. They're becoming victorious. And so he's going to find a spot somewhere for them to get offended or for them to go, this doesn't work, or some excuse why they need to get out of a good church. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it. It probably doesn't relate to any of us. Well, it certainly doesn't because you're here. Well, we need to move over to the other church because our children they want to go here. So we're going to go. That's just stupidity gone to seed. Your children need to go where God calls you. But people can't see that. They get all blocked up, you know. You're in charge. You have to be a parent, not a friend. Raise a child up the way they should go and they'll return to it. I guess I still have my itinerant preach on today, but I need to tell you that. Yes. And I know some of y'all have been tempted and you said, no, we're staying. Mom, I want to go over here. No, you're going to come here. You're going to come here. And then they happily came along and did what they needed to do and amen. Y'all still love me? I know you do. But people start moving up in life. Enemies send something, get them off track. But I heard something. This guy, he's a very successful preacher in Africa. And they asked him, they said, so Pastor so-and-so, has the devil really fought y'all? And this is what he said. Well, I guess he had, but we're not really paying attention. We're just busy. Attention, pay attention, pay attention. What are you going to pay attention to? What are you going to pay attention to? I'm just helping you, church. Amen. Yeah, we're just not paying attention. What are you paying attention to? Church, listen, there are wonderful things happening to us right now. Wonderful things are happening to us right now. We are in the summer of suddenlies. We are in the great awakening. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 16:7 to you. It says, "For I do not wish to see you right now." This is Paul talking again. He's writing a letter, just in passing, but he's to the Corinthians. "But I hope to remain with you for some time later on, if the Lord permits. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, because a wide door for effective service has opened to me in Ephesus, a very promising opportunity, and there are many adversaries." And that's what he wrote to them. He says, "I'm going to stay over here." Yeah. "Because a wide door has, a door of opportunity has been open, a place where we can be effective, and there are many adversaries." Now, some people have said, "I'm coming on down there. I can't stand all this. We're getting persecuted so bad. You know, I just don't feel like the people in the church love me. They don't care. Those Christian people are just the meanest people." You know. And they can be. Not y'all. But point being, the door is open, but there are adversaries. Okay? There is an enemy, but there is an open door, a door of opportunity. And the devil is parking himself in the doorway. He's like a guard dog. He's parked at the door. Church, listen, listen. I want to tell you something. If you're waiting for the devil to leave you alone, you can just forget it. "Well, I just am praying," and I've heard this so many times. "I'm just praying that the Lord will get him off of me."
Oh no.
No, see, that's your job. But if you're just thinking he'll, now he is a creature of pride, and sometimes he will leave and come back for when he thinks it's a better time. He does. He did that to Jesus. But, you know, he's there. Here's what we're going to do. Just step over. Just step over him. Go right on through the door. Just reach for more. Don't stop reaching. You hear me? Don't stop reaching. Don't stop learning. Don't stop wanting God. Don't stop wanting to do the will of God. Don't stop your success by stopping.
Right.
Because there's something in front of you. Well, you know, if the door is closed, we know it's not God. That's a bad doctrine. First of all, we hear right here that the door is open. There is opportunity. There is a guard dog in front of that door, because he doesn't want you to have your prosperity, your health, your peace. He doesn't want you having souls saved. He doesn't want your ministry to go forward. He doesn't want your business to go forward. That's his MO, church. That's just what he does. You remember when Satan appeared to Smith Wigglesworth? Probably everybody in the place has read Smith Wigglesworth. He's sleeping. He wakes up, and Satan himself, which he's never even come to visit you. A lot of times he just sends a little monkey imp. But he went to see Smith Wigglesworth. And he's at the end of the bed. Smith wakes up, gets up, looks at him, and goes, "Oh, it's just you." Rolls over and goes to sleep. Just walk over him. Just roll back over. Don't give him your attention. Don't, and recognize what he is, what it is when it comes along. I'll help you with that a little bit. I'm trying to tell you how to get him to leave you alone. Don't give him any attention. Speak to the situation. This is the attention that you give. You're going to speak to the situation. Amen. You're going to answer the lie, and then you're just going to go on. That's all you have to do. Get out of here in Jesus' name. Now I'm just going to go right on through here. Give them a kick on the way. Amen. That's what you do with your authority. You have total power over him because Jesus has already defeated him. Psalm 23 is about green pastures. It's about provision. Still waters. Not turbulent waters. It's about a restored soul. That's a renewed mind. It's a mind that puts its attention on the right thing. The shadow of the valley of death is, it's all around you, but it's not on you. And it's just a shadow. Why? Because if he wanted to kill you, he already would have. He can't do it. Not if you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. You fear no evil. It's a choice. If the devil gets you in fear, then he has you. If the devil gets you mad, if you get offended, that's it. He has you. Nobody else is suffering. Well, you can make people suffer if you're pouting and stuff, but then they have to resist. Right? So we each have our part to play in that. So I want to say this to you. Just because you have a fearful feeling doesn't mean that your faith is failing.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
Just because you get a fearful feeling. The devil comes with a lie and with influence. And when you get that feeling, you just put it down.
Right.
But it doesn't mean you're failing. Listen to this. It means the devil's present. It means a demonic force is present. It's an influence. When fear comes, can I tell you, you don't have a fountain of fear.
Amen.
You have a fountain of faith. You've been delivered. Your spirit has been delivered. If you're sitting here tonight or watching on TV, you are a born-again Christian. You don't have a fountain of fear. You have a fountain of faith, but influence comes from the outside, and that's what makes your stomach go, ooh, and you feel all awful, and you just have fear of rejection or fear of whatever's going on around you.
Right.
Amen. It's just that he's present, so you know what to do. We can back up to A. Kick him out. We were off-roading up in the mountains, and I'm on the side where it's straight down in the Jeep. I'm on that side. And I'm looking over there, and I'm going, yeah. And Toby loves that. He's driving, hey, Mom has a look down there. I'm like, on the way back, you're going to be on this side.
Yeah.
But, you know, we played around with it. But in a little while, we're going around the corner, and he says, is it bothering you? And I said, I'm done with it now.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I'm not going to live with fear of edges. Jesus' name.
Right.
And we'll preach, won't it? I'm safe. You're safe. Did I feel it? I felt it. But that didn't mean I was off my faith. It meant the devil's present to try to make me afraid. I was looking down. Ooh, it's far down there. Beautiful though. When you focus on the beauty.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I can get right up to the edge because look at the beauty out there. Woo! Glorious. The Continental Divide right there. It's gorgeous. Besides that, you have to go to the edges if you're going to find the moose. Okay, anyway. So it's, you know that he's present. I hope you just got that. I hope you get. When you get that feeling, you'll know that there's some force, negative force, trying to tempt you to open your mouth and go that way. Fear of rejection, actually fear of falling, whatever it is, that's the enemy.
Yeah.
So you know what to do with him then.
Yes.
That's my point. Talk to what comes in to trouble your mind. Talk to it. Well, I was sitting right here this morning worshiping God, loving it, and he came and said, well, blah, 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 blah. I was like, shut up and get out of here.
Amen.
I'm not going to be thinking about that. What do you give your attention to? You're standing there worshiping the Lord thinking, I sure wish so-and-so was here. They would get a lot out of this. Well, how about you getting a lot out of it? Get your mind up. That's also a distraction. That was good preaching right there. And I want to remind you of this. You don't have to think to get rid of a thought. You don't have to think to get rid of a thought. You talk to it. Immediately. You're not going to torment me with that. No, I'm not taking that. Well, did you hear the way they talked to you? No?
Nope.
Have I gotten caught up with? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have. Now, man, I tell you what. I'm really working to conquer speculative imagination.
Yes.
Sometime Deb have to call me on it. She's like, hey, you don't need to be thinking about that. What do you? I'm like, what do you think? No? Why even speculate? You don't know. And why give certain opinions? Because they don't have any authority anyway. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just put that down and go with God. Go with what you know is good. Get your mind on the right things. And I want to say this to you. Get a specific answer for a specific threat. Get a specific answer for a specific, don't just get your general answer. This is how people die.
Exactly.
Well, the Lord loves me.
Come on.
So I know I'm healed.
Right.
You better pick up the Bible and find scripture that has to do. I was thinking about that song, the rattle. Blood comes from bones. Life comes from that.
Yes, it does.
It does. So, I mean, start confessing the right things. Find the right thing for your body to say over it.
Yeah.
Not just random. Don't be random. Get a rhema.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with all the scriptures. I'm not saying that. So don't write me an ugly letter about rhema words and all that.
Yeah.
I believe it anyway. But get what you need out of the scripture. No general answer. The Lord's prepared a table for me, for you, in the presence of enemies. Presence. He's present. The table, according to Psalm 23, he's present. Be occupied with the table, not the presence of the enemy. Be occupied with the table. Because I tell you, he always wants a chair. He's always going to want a chair. Don't give him one. Make him watch you eat.
Amen.
Hey, devil. Remember, church, the only power he has is the power of suggestion. That's the only power. He's just a deceiver. He has to use your power and your words to lock you into something. He has no power over you whatsoever. He can't make you do anything. He can only make suggestions. Did you hear what they said to you? I'm telling you, you might want to. That's his suggestion. Well, you just need to quit because they don't love you over there. That's his suggestion. Well, you know, I had that you're not learning much. Well, you know, you really hate this job. Well, you know, your boss, you just hate that. Those are all just suggestions. And you take them. You just take them. It's amazing to me. How often that one thing can be said that will make someone spin out. One thing and they're done. Well, I'll just never trust you again. One thing. And you can apologize till the cows come home. It just slipped out. I didn't realize. And still, I just don't think I could. I mean, how would married people make it? Because people slip up. Covenant. Staying power. Loyalty. Trust. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgive it. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're abused all the time in that way, you got to start praying about something. Right. You don't have to forget, but you can forgive.
Right. Right.
You know, you bite me once. It's your fault. You bite me twice. It's mine. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, Pastor. Yeah, I believe that.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I don't love you. Right. That doesn't mean I won't forgive you. It's just that I'll learn a way to relate and cooperate with you so that I'm not allowing or doing something myself to cause that.
Yeah.
You get that. Okay, I'm going to get out of that and move on. So, the only power is a power of suggestion, but just because you have faith doesn't mean you won't hear the devil talk. That's when he will talk, church. His job is to lie and apply pressure. Pressure causes mental problems. The evil he's always shouting, your attention is mine, your attention is mine, your attention is mine, it's all mine, and it's always gonna be mine. That's what the devil's saying, and that is a lie. He can shout all he wants, but if you don't give him your attention, you can defeat him with one smooth stone. Goliath was threatening the armies of Israel. They were awed by all of the threats. So awed that they couldn't do what they were trained to do. But David, he put his attention on something else. Y'all with me? He put his attention on something else. What was it? What did he put his attention on? The reward. He went in there and went, hey,
yeah, he did.
What are y'all going to give the guy that does this? They're all over there. He's like, he's like, man, if I do this, I'm getting a reward. The king's going to give me great riches. That's number one. Number two, I get to marry the king's daughter. And number three, tax-free life. I mean, just think about that. He sees the giant as a tax write-off. But see, with Goliath, the biggest thing that's working for him was himself. But with David, the biggest thing working for David was the God of the universe. Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, pay attention to my words and be willing to learn. Open your ears to my sayings. Attention. Who gets your attention? Who gets it? Give your attention to the Word, to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to Father. Give him your eyes, give him your ears, give him your heart, listen to him. You may hear the devil, but you don't have to give him your attention. And church, he's going to talk through people, not just your mind. Did somebody somewhere say something to suggest something and want you to agree with it? Man, it's so hot, people are probably dying. And these gas prices, and you got to watch what you say. You're at the pump and everybody there is... Keep your eyes on Jesus. Because if he can't get your attention, he can't get your faith. And if he can't get your faith, he can't get your stuff. Brother Jerry's still right. If Satan can't steal your joy, he can't have your stuff. Amen. Once again, I'm going to say this to you as we close. Every successful spiritual person has disciplined themselves to put their attention on the right thing. You received this today? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the word today.